Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just jump right in here. So you are, we'll just tell everybody here as we are talking, you are Zach Arnold, a very multi-talented businessman, associate producer of everybody's favorite show, Cobra Kai, CEO of Optimize Yourself, and in addition to that, career coach to many Hollywood creatives. So let's start, we all know what Cobra Kai is all about, but tell us about Optimize Yourself. What is that company all about?
Yeah, so Optimize Yourself, like you had mentioned, is designed specifically for artists, creatives, and storytellers who are looking for a better way to do the work that they do, such that they can design the more balanced, more sustainable, and fulfilling creative career that they deserve to have without the cost that comes with working in the entertainment industry of sacrificing your health and your sanity in the process. Hollywood is not the easiest place to build a career and live a life, and I'm trying to provide the tools, the resources, and the mindsets to help creative minds thrive in the entertainment industry.
And so does this include just people in the acting, television, film world? Does that also include music people as well, or what?
Oh, no, I'm happy to include anybody that does creative work that has a story to tell. Because I work in the entertainment industry and I'm largely known for, a lot of my A-list credits, Cobra Kai certainly being included in that. Most of the people that gravitate to me are in the craft side of the entertainment industry, but I work with a variety of people in completely different industries, different parts of the world. I've worked with electrochemists. I've worked with FBI analysts. I've worked with people all over the place, but the common thread is that I want to know how to better express myself creatively and build a more fulfilling life around the creative work that I do.
Okay, because I know we have a lot of music people listen to our show, and I'm sure they're going to ask that, so you've answered that very beautifully. Okay, let's get to the current business at hand here. This Hollywood strike, where are we? Do you see happiness ever after with this strike, or where are we today?
Oh, boy, that's a very loaded question. And how many hours do we have to break this down?
Oh, my God.
Where we are, things are not great. And I am not a Hollywood insider. I don't have any more information than anybody that has Google on the internet. But I spent a lot of time breaking all this down and taking it in. And unfortunately, where we are right now is that the simplest version, both all of the writers that are in the WGA are on strike and all of the actors that are in SAG-AFTRA are on strike. And no negotiations are happening as of the time that we are talking. The latest is that as of Friday afternoon, the studios, the AMPTP and the WGA, the writers, sat down at the table. They have a meeting about meeting. It wasn't even to negotiate. It was just, is it worth us meeting again? And the shortest version is one side said, we haven't changed our stance. How about you? And the other side said, no, we haven't changed ours either. Okay, great. Well, then we can agree to disagree. And since then, there are no further discussions or talks. So right now, things are not great as far as seeing progress and seeing a resolution anytime soon. But I'm not in those rooms. I'm just reading what's coming out of the trades like everybody else.
Now, I'm sure you saw this article. I saw it this morning where Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, and Ava DuVernay have joined forces to do, it sounds like, something very similar to what you're kind of sort of doing. They've established a network to help some of these unemployed people in the entertainment industry. What do you think about all of that?
I actually haven't seen that article specifically, so I don't know what it is that they're building, but I'm certainly all for it. But what I've been saying for months now is that despite the fact that there's a drastic work shortage, at the end of the day, all we can do is we can suffer what we can control. And I think one of the most important things that we can't control right now is building our network and surrounding ourselves with the right people. So if whatever their initiative is, it's specifically about connecting other film industry professionals, we can all support each other. I'm all for it. But like I said, I haven't seen any of the information yet, but I can tell you, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to be looking up Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, Ava DuVernay, and what they're up to, because it sounds exactly aligned with what I'm doing.
Well, I saw this in Deadline.
I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
Yeah, I just saw it this morning, early this morning. Okay, so how... I can only imagine that your phone has been ringing day and night. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. The same thing that is happening to me now that happened 3 years ago when the COVID shutdown happened. And then I'm worried, everybody's going to hunker down and I'm not going to have any business. What am I going to do? And everybody's coming out of the woodwork saying, I have no way of finding work, but I'm realizing that the work that I was doing isn't what I want to do with my life anyway. So help me not just find the next gig, but help me design a more fulfilling career path where I actually like the work that I'm doing, because people have been so burned out by the industry, by the exploitation, by the long hours, where they just find that the stories that they're telling no longer resonate with them. So it's not like I'm a job placement service where I help people update the font choice on their resume and get in front of recruiters. What I really help creatives do is reconstruct the narrative of who they want to become and the stories that they ultimately want to tell. And a big part of that is who do we surround ourselves with, which is why I think networking and building relationships is such a key way to use this time that we have right now.
Well, one of the things, as we all know, that a lot of people, whether they're the creatives or not, are very concerned about is AI replacing them, minimizing what they do in all professions. So what are at least one, two, or three approaches that people can do, especially, you know, I'm in a creative field myself, obviously. How can people protect their careers with the threat of AI?
Oh, yes. This is another one that I could talk about for hours.
Hours.
This is the epicenter of everything that I'm writing about at the moment. The first thing that I'll share is that I am not part of the doom and gloom crowd. I do not think that all creatives are going to be replaced and editors go away and writers go away and actors go away. I don't believe that we're even remotely close to that being our reality. However, I do think that what we're seeing right now is the transfer or the transition from being a highly specialized society and moving back towards generalization. So rather than focusing on the rise of the machines, I've been helping people focus on the rise of the generalists. And what I mean by that is that I believe there's going to be a very, very small percentage of people that only do one very specific thing for a living and they make all of their money doing it. So an example would be, I am a TV network sitcom writer. The odds of somebody being able to do that for 12 months a year for years on end and make a good living doing it, those chances are lessening. It's the same in any other genre, any other medium, any other craft. What artificial intelligence is going to do is it's going to start taking over the very specialized, very repetitive, very menial, and very data-driven tasks, which frankly is a lot of the stuff that nobody likes doing anyway. But I think that with the vast amount of creative work that most creatives do, we're irreplaceable. We just have to find a way to diversify the skill sets that we have, because specialization is where AI really, really shines. So if you can only do one thing and you only have one skill, you're probably in trouble. But if you have a much vaster, wider ability to solve problems, to connect all the different pieces in a story, to manage teams, to manage expectations, all of these other things that make us human, to have empathy, to feel emotions and help others feel emotions, which frankly is at the core of being a musician. AI is probably going to be able to lay down a pretty thick beat in a few seconds, but having it really understand what are the nuances necessary to make somebody feel something at the exact moment that this instrument changes or we hit the bridge, humans are still going to be required to do that. I just think that in order to not only survive but thrive, we're going to have to diversify our skills and diversify how we generate income.
And so, Zach, what about if a person is an actor? You're not Brad Pitt or somebody like that, but you are a working actor. How do they diversify? And that's all they've been doing for the last 15 or 10 or 12 years. What do you say to them?
Sure. Well, the funny thing is that if there was ever a profession that is ready and prepared for this transition, it's actors, because actors are already generalists. There are very, very few actors that the only thing they do to make a living is act. That's actually a pretty small percentage of them. Actors, and obviously this is a stereotype, but actors work at Starbucks or they're servers at restaurants, and that I don't want to be reductive, but there are a lot of actors that do other things in other industries so that they can pay the bills. And I think that their ability to communicate well, to be able to tell a story, that's going to give them more ability to be able to do a variety of different things. And frankly, most actors and most people that work in Hollywood, especially the actors and the writers, if anybody's prepared for this, it's them. Because at least as you're climbing the ladder, you have to diversify and you have to create multiple income streams. Whereas if you're in a very craft-specific part of the industry like me as an editor, the only thing that I've done for over 20 years to generate an income before I started this business was I edited. However, my diversification was not the specific skill. It was how I told those stories. So I diversified between editing trailers, editing commercials, editing promos, editing indie films, editing TV, editing features. So there's still a lot of diversification using a specific skill. So if actors can find the essence of what they're really, really good at, they may not make a living only acting as a main or side character in one TV series. But if they find the essence of what makes them great, their ability to communicate or speak or make people laugh or whatever it is, they can still find their zone of genius, diversify it in a multitude of different ways, and not only generate income, but they're actually going to have a more fulfilling life.
And so what are some, at least, and I always like to use three, important things that currently the striking writers and actors that are not on the Brad Pitt level, what do you think they should do? Because I know it's a lot of them that I know are listening or will be listening to prepare for the immediate future for themselves and their careers.
Yeah, I think for the immediate future, what they need to do is just hit the pause button. We're talking even for like half a day or a day. This isn't something that takes 6 months. But if they can just take a little bit of time to sit back and reflect on, what am I really good at? It's not just I'm a writer or an actor. It goes much, much deeper than that. So what is it that I'm really good at? Where is it that I really shine? Where does time disappear? What is that thing that even when I'm doing it, I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe that they're paying me to do this. By the way, everybody should get paid and paid well, which should be compensated. But at the end of the day, in your heart, you're thinking, I can't believe they're paying me to do this. This is who I am, and this is what I do best. Figure out what that is. Then ask the question, where is that useful to others beyond this one area that I'm working to advance my career? And what most people find, if not all the ones that I work with doing this on a daily basis, there are other areas or other industries or other parts of their craft, whatever it might be, where they become very, very passionate about it. Because even though it might not be the end result, it's a good use of their time because they're developing all of the necessary skills or the character traits that are going to make them even better at that thing that they already enjoy doing.
And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but you do have a lot of experience in Hollywood. Where do you see this when the dust is settled? Do you think we're going to have an improved, better, more, and I bite my tongue, more fair Hollywood? Or just what do you think and when this is over?
God, I want to believe that. I really want to believe that things are going to be fair and just and equitable, and we're going to have more diverse voices and people telling more diverse stories. And everybody's going to be compensated for the value. God, I want to believe that so badly. Ultimately, I don't know where this is going any more than anybody else. I think that it's going to get uglier before we come to a resolution, and it's already gotten pretty ugly. So I don't know what it's going to look like at the end. But I do think that whatever the model becomes or whatever the resolution is, I think it's going to be fundamentally different than the way we see it now. And I really, really hope that's for the better. But I think what we're finding is that the entire business model that the entertainment industry was built upon is now kind of falling apart because they're making this transition much more to a Silicon Valley business model than the entertainment model. And I don't think either side of the table really knows what's coming next, and I think that's part of the problem. And even though we're making it about us versus them, I universally think that so many things are changing about how our society works, how our economy works. And with the introduction of artificial intelligence, I don't think either side really knows what the best solution is because it's all so unknown. So the only thing that I'm confident of is that what we're going to see in a resolution, I think, is going to be significantly different than the way things work now. And I really want to believe that all the creatives and all the artists and all the storytellers are taken care of and valued and respected. But at the end of the day, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, do you, this will be my last two questions here. Do you still have projects and films, television projects yourself that you plan on getting developed, or maybe they're in development and on hold after all this is over, or what?
I certainly have my own projects that are in the nascent stages of development, and I would, full disclosure, say they're on back burners right now because I'm working 24/7 trying to help all the people through the strike and better construct their narrative and find other ways to generate income. And so that's literally all I'm working on right now. But I have a few projects that are in development. But as far as me working as a producer or an editor in Hollywood working on, you know, television or streaming entertainment like Cobra Kai, that's shut down. I mean, there's $0 of income and there's no prospect of me working on, you know, the final season of Cobra Kai anytime soon. So I'm the perfect example of I've used diversification and generalization to be able to use the essence of what I'm really good at, which is storytelling, and applying to different areas. So I have a little bit more security doing during a very uncertain time.
Well, now, we have a lot of independent filmmakers from all over the world come on our show, of course, because we cover film festivals and such. And I've heard and read, and I'm sure you have too, recently since the strike, with a lot of people saying, oh, my goodness, this is now the era for the independent filmmaker. What do you say to that? And also, what do you say to people who are at film schools around the country about having a career in Hollywood with all of this going on?
Yeah, I have at the fundamental level, people will always need good stories. And this is, again, why I don't think that AI is going to replace all of us, because we need good stories to help us make sense of what is going on in the world, to deal with the uncertainty, to deal with the anxiety, and feel like collectively, as a species, we are all working through this together. We've been that way, wired that way since the beginning of evolution, and it will always be that way. The question is not, do we need stories? It's how do we tell those stories, and what are the tools that we need to learn to tell them? So my hope is that we are going to see the reemergence of independent filmmaking, because I think that it hasn't been the death of independent filmmaking, but boy, has it been on life support for the last 15 years. And I think some of the best films to come out of at least my lifetime or my generation are all of those indie films, and maybe not the, you know, the $50,000 indies, but the ones that were the studio indies and the $3 to $5 to $10 million range. There was a huge resurgence of those in the late 90s and early 2000s. We don't have those anymore. And it's all been about how do we get the most butts in seats and make the most money in our first 4-day window, our very first weekend. And the quality of storytelling has been basically the ultimate victim. So if anything amazing comes out of this, I hope it's the resurgence of great independent storytellers. And we see similar to what happened in the late 60s and early 70s with the emergence of films like Easy Rider and all of these other films that came that were fighting against the studio system, the American zoetrope. What I hope is we look back on this in 10 or 15 years historically, and we say the resurgence of amazing independent storytelling happened as a positive result of people making the best of their time during the strike.
Okay. Finally, how can people reach you or, I say, your company, Optimize Yourself? What do they need to do?
Sure. There's a couple of ways to get involved with me very, very easily. One is simply just go to my website, optimizeyourself.me. There's a contact form. They can reach out to me directly. I'm very responsive. But if they want to get a better sense of how I approach this, how I approach building a creative career in general, best place to get started is with my podcast. Go to any podcast app of choice, search for Optimize Yourself or search for my name, and I'm right there, and I've got well over 200 episodes to get you started.
Well, Zach, I think this is amazing work that you're doing, and what a great timing that you have to really emphasize Optimize Yourself, because you are so needed for what you're doing. Thank you so much for helping dozens of creatives. I have friends who I know will be calling you, and just thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, too.
Well, yeah, and I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to find the right people that I can help, so that's why I'm here.
Okay, well, I will continue to follow you and hopefully maybe have you on again in a few months and we can have some more predictions.
I'd be more than happy to.
Okay, for the new year then. Thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.